Ronnie's Own Radio.
Well, here we are, Ronnie's Own Radio number 18. That's 1-8. I just want to thank you again for your support of the show. We are just going to kind of have a couple of different pieces from a couple of different things that we've recorded. One piece is just a conversation I was having with Colleen. And then the other piece is an interview I had with Joe Geist. He is a film aficionado, and we talk about, well, we talk about so many things. We talk about whispers for Oscars, and we talk about films coming out at Christmas time. Then we switch gears and we talk about DreamWorks for a little bit, and then we talk about the entertainment, the future, and what's happening, and what kind of scares us and concerns us. And there's a lot of different things that we talk about. So I know you're going to enjoy it. I had a great time talking to Joe. He's a great guy. So here we go. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Ronnie's Own Radio, and I'm here with my lovely wife.
Hello.
Colleen, the one, the only. And I just wanted to kind of end the year and have some comments about, you know, what a great year it's been. The show has really gone beyond anything I could have really dreamed of. And I really owe a lot of it to Colleen for being a cheerleader when things, you know, I don't think are going really well. So I just want to thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Okay.
You've challenged me to think about things that I wouldn't have thought about this year, and that's, you know, that's the beauty of the show. So, I appreciate you as much.
Well, I'm touched. Thank you. Well, we really have kind of broken a lot of big ground, I feel, and we're going to continue to do so. Next year, we're really just going to bust the door down. I think this year we've jiggled the handle. And this next year is really going to be just phenomenal. And the response I've got from people who even don't have any religious type of feelings that have listened to the show have really been shocked that a person who has really strong beliefs can kind of take steps back and ask questions and really be exposed to other types of views. And I am humbled by that because that's exactly what I wanted to do. And so I hope this show is inclusive of people who don't really feel the same way I do, because that's really how we learn, when we reach out and love and care and dialogue. I think that's missing. I've said that about a million times. But I don't know if everyone remembers, hopefully you do, that we did have a show a few months back when we talked about Christian entertainment and how Christian entertainment is lacking.
To put it nicely.
Wouldn't you agree? And I really feel in a lot of ways that we have really tasted a sense of rejuvenation within the framework. And I knew that the Passion of the Christ was going to open a new door. I knew it the minute I saw it. Even though it was brutal, it was violent, I knew it caused a lot of ruckus, but I knew that that would open the door. And the movie we saw last evening, it was just incredible. I mean, we saw The Chronicles of Narnia, and what did you think?
I loved it. I thought it was wonderful. It was very well done. It was unbelievably close to the book, mm-hmm. and it did what I thought it was going to do.
Mm-hmm. I think it really, to my knowledge, even though I love the cinematography and all of what The Passion of the Christ was, I think that film had a lot of, it has to be a certain way. But Chronicles of Narnia, I think, was a little different. And I know that following the book was important, but I was very impressed with it. Probably more so than Passion of the Christ, because I think it's going to allow more people to see it. Obviously, it's not a R-rated film, and I think the kids are really going to enjoy the story. Now, let me ask you this question. Do you think that a person who is not a Christian would enjoy that film?
Absolutely. I think the story itself is really a great fantasy story. If you take the Christianity element out of it and just look at it from a pure fantasy experience, absolutely, I think people would enjoy that. In fact, I would imagine that there are a lot of people out there who wouldn't really get the Christian undertones or whatever, as well as maybe those of us who have been, you know, raised in that. Mm-hmm. But definitely it is a story that most people would really enjoy, I think.
I think you're right. The only thing probably would be the death and coming back to life. That's probably the only point.
Correct. That would be the one point where people would get it. But I wonder if there, I mean, I think there were more things in the story and more elements of the story that definitely point to a Christian theme that most non-Christians probably wouldn't realize or understand or get.
I don't feel that it was overboard.
No,
I think
not at
it
all.
Was. I think it was done well in a story realm, and so I just think that if you're Christian, Buddhist, Muslim, atheist, whatever, whoever you are, I really think you're going to enjoy the film.
Right.
And you may say, well, but it's a children's film. But there are themes in there that are just, that speak to all different ages, I think.
The funny thing is that it comes back to the age-old good versus evil. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is an age-old, since the beginning of time, that's what has always happened, what's always been. And anybody and everybody can understand that. And whether you root for the bad guy or the good guy, or switch back and forth between the movie, everybody will understand that. Children, adults, doesn't matter. I don't think age is really a factor in this, because the adults will appreciate from both their childhood experience as well as an adult, they will be able to see their own struggles in that.
Well, the bottom line is I am pushing this
film. We're rolling. I have the extreme pleasure of having a great guy back on the show again. His name is Joe Geis. Joe, say hi to everybody.
Hello, everybody. Hello. Good evening.
We are going to talk about just a number of things today, and it's all going to center around entertainment. Now, the first thing I want to talk about, Joe, is Oscar whispers. What are you hearing? What are you feeling?
Well, we have the obvious choice of Joaquin Phoenix.
Right.
And I'm talking best actors right now. I think this next month and a half has a lot to be desired.
Mm-hmm.
I hope the Academy does not forget about Russell Crowe for Cinderella Man.
Right.
That happened with Road to Perdition a few years ago because it came out in February. Everyone forgot about it.
Right.
And Road to Perdition should have got a lot more accolades than it did. And I'm hoping Cinderella Man doesn't fall by the wayside.
Well, now what about Rent?
Yeah, you know, as far as there aren't any big actors in there, and I'm not saying that that's not a reason why one should get nominated.
Sure.
But I don't think you're going to see a lot of nominations out of Rent. I think it's going to make money, and I think it's going to be a good film.
Right.
But as far as Oscar nods, I'm not sure. Now, one big film that just got pushed till next February as well was All the King's Men.
Mm.
And that was supposed to be Sean Penn's big Oscar film for this year.
Right.
But Steve Zaillian, the director, he could not get it. He's not going to have it done in time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be pushed till 06, which is a big rumblings in the business, if you will, people being extremely upset.
Now, Rob Marshall's next big film, Memoirs of a Geisha, that's coming.
Yes, that's coming. And you know what? I mean, great book. Millions of people have read it.
Right.
And from what I've read of early screenings, it's been off the chart.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget that Spielberg, those guys are really pushing to get his film Munich out.
Right.
With Eric Bana, and that will definitely have some nominations in there.
Well, before we jump into those, that's in my next little grouping, but let me toss a name out to you. The Libertine. Have you heard anything about that?
Is that the Johnny Depp film?
Yes.
You know what? I heard, and if it's the right one I'm thinking of, but I'm pretty sure that Johnny Depp in this one is not a likable character.
Yeah.
You know, so many people now, because of the pirates and the Willy Wonkas and all that.
Right.
You know, if you remember, Johnny Depp did a lot of kind of, you know, obscure films and a lot of independent films that people hadn't even heard about, like Dead Man and things
sure.
like that, that were, you know, a little un-Johnny Depp like he is now.
Right.
And I think I don't think the Libertine's going to make any money, but I think it'd be interesting to see him in it. Have you heard anything about it?
Well, I just kind of was looking through the upcoming releases, and it looked interesting because it looked like another kind of Johnny Depp swing off of the mainstream. And I just had wondered kind of what was being said about it. So
yeah. You know, and you said it well. It'd be nice to see him kind of jump back into that just for a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, because now he's got Pirates 2 and 3 coming out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I hope he sticks with the independent scene as well.
Well, he loves that whole offbeat character thing. So it just, you know, Charlie and Chocolate Factory, it was almost a, you know, once he was presented with it, I knew he'd go for it because he loves those kind of quirky characters.
You're right, and he's good at them.
Yeah.
He's really good at them, and he's been lucky. You know, some of these big ones he's done, the story's been well done, or the production design, so they've thrived.
So let's talk about Christmas. Now, to me, you know, we have one clear winner as far as money. I think King Kong's is going to rake it in.
I think so.
I mean, Harry
Potter's numbers.
Yeah.
Impressive. Worldwide, yeah. 180.
Yeah. And, you know, I guess it's the kids are out of school, they got nothing else better to do, why not? So.
Exactly. And, you know, the only thing that is of concern as far as King Kong goes is the running time of 3 hours.
Yeah.
Now, there's obvious, you know, Braveheart and the Titanics and all those films were right around that area.
Yeah.
And still, obviously, won Oscars and made a lot of money. So that's not going to turn people away. But you're right. I think Kong numbers are going to be, I don't know if they're going to be in the top five, but real close as far as opening weekends go.
I got to tell you, what I've seen, I've liked as far as acting. I think Jack Black is a good actor, even though, you know, a lot of his films of late have been comedies.
I agree.
I think he's strong, and I think this is the first time that he's really been given, you know, some lines with some meat and emotion, and I think he'll do fine.
Yeah, I mean, he's able to show his range now.
Right.
And as long as Peter Jackson stays on course like he did with the Rings trilogy,
right,
and has the emotion, like when we first saw Fellowship of the Ring, the first one, and when Gandalf died and they came running out of the mountain, I mean, he had that emotional scene there that you didn't expect in that kind of a film.
Right.
And let's hope he keeps that with King Kong.
Yeah.
I want to see the CGI and I want to see the T-Rex fight and all that kind of stuff, but I really want to make sure that there's a story and that there's some emotion there.
That's true.
Because the actors are too good not to have it. Naomi Watts, Adrian Brody, I mean...
Right.
You know what I mean? You've got to have, like you said, some meat in the script for these actors. Don't just use them against blue screen. Kind of the potholes that the trilogy of Star Wars fell into at a certain time.
Well, absolutely, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, but what I like as far as an actor, that Jack Black was really only... You saw a lot of his range. Naomi Watts, you saw her scream, and Adrian Brody, he just kind of looked. So
right.
It's interesting that they're kind of pushing Jack Black as far as he can really act. So
yeah, no, you're right. The trailers have, yeah, he's definitely been in the picture more. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Now, the other big film coming is Chronicles of Narnia.
Yes.
Booked by C.S. Lewis, I think read by most people in America.
Yeah.
But I think a real quiet kind of a book. It's not... It doesn't have the fervor, in my opinion, as a Lord of the Rings.
I agree, and I think that's going to, you know, obviously Narnia is supposed to be the kind of new Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Right.
That kind of same look and feel. But I think that's going to do big, big business, and I think it's going to do continued business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the director, his name slips my mind, but he did do, he directed Shrek 1 and 2.
Right.
And those are good films. They're plotted out well, you know, and I think it's going to do big numbers. Personally, yes, I want to see it, but it's not at the top of my list, definitely.
Well, and that's kind of the feeling that I'm getting from the populace. But I'll tell you what, it's one of the ones I'm pushing.
Oh, really?
I'll tell you, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
It's because it's a story that is a good story, but it's not a well-known story. And so,
and there's the allure there.
There you go.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Speaking
of which, if I can, real fast, I don't know if you've heard about the film called The Departed that's coming out.
Mm-mm, no.
Did you see a film called Infernal Affairs?
Yes.
It's a remake of that.
Okay.
But set in Boston, with Jack Nicholson, Matt Damon, and Leonardo DiCaprio, directed by Scorsese.
Wow.
Now talk about some big actors.
Yeah.
So that'll be around Christmas time too. Don't forget to look for that one.
Wow, that snuck up on me. Okay.
Yeah, the Departed, the remake of Infernal Affairs.
Gee. Now let's talk about Munich.
Okay.
I think Spielberg, once he set Indiana Jones and E.T. and all that aside,
yeah,
I think he has really, really just spread his wings, and this is just an incredible looking film.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're both fans of War of the Worlds.
Absolutely.
That. And Munich, it's amazing how Spielberg and his crew can get films shot so quickly and edited and music and everything. I mean, this is one of the fastest films ever from start to finish.
Yeah.
because they're pushing it for Christmas. And the trailer they squeezed out barely is fantastic.
Yeah.
And I like how he goes with actors, not every time, but, you know, it's these obscure actors who may not always be in the limelight. He gives them the lead role, like Eric Bana.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't really have a chance to shine in Pulp. Mm-hmm. You know, people were waiting for him to turn. But in this one, you know, he's the lead in it. And from what it looks like, I hope he gets some props this year.
Well, I think that the key to Spielberg now is not only is he covering a huge time of history when with Schindler's List it was just the biggest atrocity known to man, but now he's taking another piece of history that is well known but not well documented. There's not much that we know in the background, and I think again it's just a great steps that he's taking now.
And it must be nice, and you're exactly right, and it must be nice, you know, he could do whatever he wants.
Yes.
If he wants to do a film about Tom Cruise reading a phone book, he'll get funded. Not a problem, and I'd probably see it.
Yeah. Now, Match Point, another kind of interesting film that is coming out, and I've heard that Woody Allen is just getting rave reviews for it.
Yeah, I think isn't that the Scarlett Johansson one?
Yes.
Yes. You know, and I have been looking on the web for any kind of reviews on that, mm-hmm. even any kind of backstory, and I haven't seen anything on it.
Yeah.
And I hope the marketing, I've seen a couple of ads, but I hope, you know, it's a shame because Woody Allen films, some good, some bad, they still don't get the marketing that, you know, some deserve.
We saw Walk the Line last night, and we saw the trailer for Match Point.
How was it?
And I'll tell you, when we got toward the end, I did not realize it was a Woody Allen film. I was like, what is this? And it was a Woody Allen film, and I said, oh, my God.
Wow. You know, as long as he, and I liked it for the time, but some of the babbling lines he can have people go through, he's kind of gotten away from that.
Yes.
He's gone back to good storytelling.
This may be his turnaround film.
Oh, really?
It may be, this may be a new era for Woody Allen. It's been a long enough time where he's caught the heat for his decisions in his personal life, and now I think he's ready to make good films. I think there's a point in every director's life when they hit a point when they say, I don't have to make money anymore, I want to make good films.
Right, right.
And I think we may be seeing that with Woody Allen. Certainly seeing it with Spielberg.
I'm going to have to see that, Jeff.
Let's kind of come close for a landing. Let's talk about DreamWorks for a little bit.
DreamWorks. Let me hear your opinion on that, Jeff.
Well, for years and years, they were the big studios.
Correct.
Just huge. Yeah. And then we did see the conglomeration period of time where, you know, one studio would just buy up another one, and then they would just become this entity, and they just suck up all the films from somebody else and then make the rights from showing it on TV or whatever, and that would kind of keep them going. But DreamWorks, I thought, was a very interesting idea because no one had started their own full-fledged studio, just from top to bottom.
Right.
And you had three of the biggest names in Hollywood, bar none. I mean, Katzenberg coming right off of Lion King. I mean, he was gold. Right. You know, Spielberg. And who was the third?
Geffen.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep.
So you've got music, you've got, you know, movies, TV, that kind of whole thing coming together.
I know, it was a recipe for brilliance.
I had the biggest hopes in the world for them, and I remember the first film that they released was that Peacemaker movie.
Yes, Clooney and Kidman.
Right, and that didn't do that well, but everyone said, no, it's going to get better. And as time went on, it was they had some hits, they had some good things going on, but then
sure they did.
You could kind of see. I remember the Shrek 1,
right.
That really was kind of the first little raspberry to Disney. So, yeah, we can do it too.
Right.
You got
right.
Nothing on us.
Right. Yeah. No, that's exactly right.
And I remember Shrek 2 came out.
Yeah.
And that was the beginning of the slump. And it wasn't as good. And I remember there was talks of problems of the sales of the DVD.
Yeah.
Wasn't what they expected.
No. They you know, a lot of the companies such as Best Buy, Circuit City shipped a ton of Shrek 2 discs
right.
back. You know, and all they were basing the stock price off was DreamWorks sent out.
Right.
you know, you sent out 100,000. If you only sell 40,
yeah,
your stock's not going to be what it was.
Yep.
Yeah, that was a big problem.
And then there was a, I remember an article where that DreamWorks turned down an offer to for someone to buy the studio. And I remember you and I talked about that. Yeah. That was a shock to you.
Yeah.
Now, you worked at DreamWorks. What was that like?
It was fantastic. I mean, it was a bunch of young people. I did some digital editing for DreamWorks and a sister company called Image Bank.
Mm-hmm.
And we it was just the lot or the DreamWorks building in Santa Monica was fantastic. And they had a lot of young, bright people there and did some editing on MI2 mm-hmm. and worked on the Blown Away DVD, et cetera. And just a great place to work at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, as you see things changing, I mean, how do you feel?
It's just a shame. It's just too bad it's going in that direction.
Well, and that's kind of what I'm thinking is which kind of shifts over to our next subject is the movie business is a business.
Oh, yeah.
It's more of a business now than it's ever been. There was a time when if you had a great idea and a great story, you could really take over the world.
Yeah.
If you were a great actor, you could really command some money.
Exactly.
But
right.
If you don't have staying power, if you don't have 8 or 9 scripts, or if you don't have a setup that's continually going to make you money, you're in trouble. Quick.
Exactly. You hit it on the head. I think that's the problem with Pixar.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Pixar is going to be their own entity now.
Mm-hmm.
They have one more film with Disney. I think it's called Cars.
Right.
They're attached to, then Pixar's on their own. Now, what Pixar's going to have to do to thrive, of course, they make, you know, millions and millions for merchandising, but they're going to need 2 or 3 films a year,
right?
Which I think is going to hurt their numbers. Pixar, the Pixar look, we're now used to. It's no longer something extraordinary. Don't get me wrong, the storytelling is fantastic,
right?
But there was always that sense for moviegoers like, oh, Pixar has one film a year. I can't wait to see it. Well, now when they have 3, you know, so they can just keep running as a studio, I don't know if that's going to be too much for people to keep wanting to see a Pixar film 3 or 4 times a year.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't know if that's going to have that same allure to pull in the kind of Nemo and Incredibles money that it's been pulling in, especially with all these other companies throwing films like The Polar Express and Shrek out like that. You know, Chicken Little, all these things that we're bombarded with that look like a Pixar film is no longer going to be as unique and therefore may not pull in the same kind of box office it's been used to these past 10 years.
Right. Let's kind of move into the last subject. It's been great talking to you as always.
Yes, you too, Jeff.
Let's talk about the changing media. Media, as far as we know, is changing. I was reading an article today when Lucas was talking to the Hollywood Reporter. And they said, what's after DVD? And Lucas said, it's downloading. And so I think the climate has changed. I remember when I was going to college in like the mid-80s, my teacher said, direct broadcast satellite, that's the future. And we can see that they took so long that now it's moved from the theaters to home.
Right.
And now with the iPod, you can download shows and movies on an iPod. So that's really taken a lot of the middleman out. I mean, everybody and their sister Joe's got an iPod.
I know.
And so, you know, clarity, crispness, theaters, I don't know. I don't know. Man, that really scares me because part of the allure of a film is the whole community aspect of it.
Community aspect and actually going.
Right.
Being an event. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. You know, I hate the fact that a film comes out 90 days after its theatrical release on DVD.
Right.
That is terrible. And they wonder why the box office slumped. Now everyone's kicking around. You know, Schwarzenegger was just, during his tour of Asia, with Jackie Chan over there saying that you should release the DVD the same day you release the movie in the theater.
Oh, wow.
That's the theory they're trying to push over there.
Wow.
They're also going against piracy issues because it's, you know, it's rampant.
Right.
But that's a whole other deal. So I just... You know, it used to be you see it in the theaters and then it doesn't come out for months or even years.
Mm-hmm.
You just couldn't wait to get that disc or that VHS. You know what I mean? And
mm-hmm.
I don't like this 90-day turnaround. And you're right. It's a, you know, when you go to an opening night or even, you know, a week within the film of these big blockbusters like Lord of the Rings, it's fun to share the experience with 400 other people.
Right.
All laughing or crying or being scared at the same time.
Right.
There's something to be said about that. And with all these home systems that sound better than the theater now,
right,
that doesn't help either.
Mm-hmm. And like you said, they're mixing it for home now on the DVD.
Yeah.
So the premise is now, well, what do you need a theater for?
Exactly.
And when you go to the theater, you see 7 or 8 commercials.
Yeah.
If you get there early to get a good seat.
Right.
And you're bombarded with all this stuff, and you spent $10 to $12 to $14
right.
to get into place to see commercials.
Right.
You know, you buy a DVD for, you know, $20, maybe less, and,
yeah.
you know, you have these commercials. And it's like, well, why purchase it?
Yeah.
You know, you're just bombarded with stuff. So it's going to be interesting to see the future as it unfolds, because if the past ever taught us anything, it's just that change happens quicker and quicker and quicker, and it's not going to be a slow evolution of something.
I agree.
Joe.
Jeff.
It's been a great time talking to you.
A pleasure always, my friend.
Okay. We'll have to do it again.
Let's do it, please. Thank
okay.
you, everybody.
Talk to you later, man.
Okay, Jeff.
See you.
Bye-bye.
Well, this brings us to the end of another Roni Zone Radio. I recommend that you would please visit jrdonline.com. That's the website. That's where you can download all the different Roni Zone radios, and you can download Tatooine TV, which is the Star Wars fan audio stuff that we have done. You can also download Revenge of the Socks. The name just really says it all. If you love sock puppet humor, well, yeah, you can download the movie from there as well. And I just really want to wish everyone a great Christmas season, Hanukkah season, Kwanzaa season, holiday season. Please have a great, great time. Spend time with your family. Really think about what the great things that really have gone on this year and what you have to be thankful for. And reach out and give to others, please. Thank you for listening this year. Thank you for participating. And we will see you next year. This is Roni Zone Radio, signing off.
Roni Zone Radio.